All right, thank you for being back in your places tonight, and we had a great Sunday, and I'm looking forward to next week. And you're like, Pastor, what are we going to do? It was full in here this morning. The balcony was ridiculously full, but we will do some offloading and some things and have some overflow. And so we're really, really excited about what God's going to do next week. I want us to look at this passage of Scripture tonight. This is well known. I've heard messages on this before in application, and I don't think I've ever personally preached from this story, because sometimes, you know, I know it so well, or you know it so well, and you've heard so many messages from a scripture like this, which is applied very specifically to us. And sometimes you get the thing like, well, you know, it's so well known, I don't want to preach from it, but I'm going to preach from it tonight. And I think it'll encourage us and it'll help us. Of course, excuse me, warning signs serve a great purpose, right? By the way, they have warning signs on everything now in our Sioux society, right? And they serve to warn us about things that are hazardous, so we can be healthy and we can be safe. I saw a few signs I was looking at, and some signs people put on their homes are a little comical. One guy said, he put a sign up that says, "I'd turn back if I were you," okay? One guy said, "No trespassing, we do not call 911. Prayer is the best way to meet the Lord, and trespassing is faster." And then you've seen the one with the dog, and it says, "Don't beware of the dog, beware of the owner," and he has a gun, which, of course, we're so against that. I'm kidding. Second Amendment. But without following warnings, or without having warnings, we can get ourselves into trouble. And I saw an old video. A guy decided that he was going to make a video showing someone how to survive if they accidentally fell into quicksand. So of course, he went to where there was quicksand, and he bypassed all the warnings. And he went over there and he set up his little... You know, he was a little bit ignorant. He didn't take anybody with him. So he set up his little tripod, and he put his camera on there, and he jumped into the quicksand. He never got out. All he did was film himself dying. He couldn't get out. He bypassed a warning sign to get into there, though. And we've all heard these things, right? You see these people that they want these crazy selfies. And so you can look it up if you want to see bad things. But, you know, they bypass these things and get into dangerous areas so they can get that selfie. And several of them have put themselves into harm's way, and several of them have died because of it. Warnings are important. And following warnings are important. And I want us to see something tonight from a standpoint of the truth about God's warnings. Ezekiel was a priest, and God had him go from being a priest to becoming a prophet, someone that gave the word. He was specifically a prophet to the exiles who were carried out of Israel by Babylon after God judged them. And of course, just because they were judged for their wrong and taken out doesn't mean they got right. You know the hearts of people, right? We can continue down a wrong path even when we're facing judgment or we've experienced it. So they're still in this foreign land, and they're still doing a lot of crazy things. We preached out of here where the priest and the religious leaders were secretly worshiping idols. And so they had a lot going on. So they still needed God's word. They still needed rebuking. And that's where Ezekiel came in. They were still in disobedience and idolatry, and they were still carrying on in a way that was wrong. And also, Ezekiel did give them encouragement as he told them to get right with the Lord, that the future is brighter, that God wasn't going to forsake them forever, and one day they'd go back in the land, and in the future, God's going to use them again. And by the way, I will say this, the land is still theirs today. Okay, God gave them that land. And God said, "You're going to come back." That didn't go over very well. You've probably been watching the people out here on the 710 or the 405 freeway that are wrong. In the beginning of this chapter, chapter 33, God's talking to Ezekiel about a very specific responsibility he has for him. And that's what I want us to see today. Look at verse 7. He gives the illustration of this particular job, which is of a watchman. And then he applies it specifically to Ezekiel verse 7. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. There's the warnings we talked about. Now, what was a watchman? This is an illustration they would have easily understood back in their day. Back in their day, one of the greatest sources of security for a city was the walls that they would build. Enemies could penetrate and get through the walls. It took time, though, and they'd be getting shot at. So the watchman would be at the top of the wall, and he would look for oncoming danger. And his job was to, if oncoming danger was coming, was to warn the people. Now, it was very important because they would want the walls to be closed up, the openings and the doors. Also, people that maybe worked outside the walls, people in agriculture or whatever, they would hear the warning from the trumpet, and they would know that there was impending danger, and they would come back inside the walls, and the walls would be closed, and the enemy would come, and they would be saved, and they would be spared, saved from death. Isaiah spoke of this when he's talking about, again, how Israel got in trouble, and he mentioned that the watchmen were not doing their job. In Isaiah 56 and verse 10, he talks about how these who weren't doing their job to warn the people of God's judgment, warn the people of what God was saying, he said, his watchmen are blind. A watchman that won't speak up is like someone who's blind who sees something, sees something, but they act like they don't see it. They are ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. What does that mean? It's like you have a dog, and he says dumb dogs that cannot bark. What good is having a watchdog if he can't bark? Are you with me? You want a dog when someone comes around that barks, that alerts you. Not a dog that says, oh, cool, look at it, someone's coming. Okay? If you have a dog that if someone tried to intrude your house and he would walk up to them and pet and lick their hand, all you have is a cat in a dog's body. Okay? And then he says, they're sleeping, they're lying down, they're loving to slumber. In other words, they're not doing their job. And so God's telling Ezekiel, listen, he points out in those first verses what a watchman does, and then he says, Ezekiel, you're my watchman to the people to warn them. Now, wait a minute. They're already in judgment, but they still needed to learn what they had done wrong, and they were still doing some things that were wrong, and they were still involved in idolatry, and they needed to get that right. And he says, Ezekiel, you're the one to tell them. Now, can I make an application for us? Now, when you look at something like this, and really, as a pastor, that would really apply to me and those that preach. It's our job to be truthful, to just say it. We can't be dumb dogs, okay? We can't be dogs that don't bark. We can't be blind, act like we don't see what's going on, and we can't act like we're asleep at the wheel. But, in a way, all of us are to be watchmen of the truth. God gives us the truth for ourselves, but he wants us to do something with that truth for others. We're not supposed to just keep it to ourselves. By the way, the society will tell us to keep it to ourselves. Believe whatever you want as long as you don't say anything to me, you don't disagree with me, and really as long as I don't see you living it. That's what they want. We have a responsibility for the truth that we receive. We're not to hide it. And in specific ways, we are to make sure that the truth gets out. So in the few minutes we have tonight, I want us to look through this passage of Scripture, and I want us to answer some questions about a watchman, someone who is supposed to know the truth and see what's coming and see what's going on and share that truth in specific ways. Number one, I want to ask this question. What are a watchman's areas? What areas are we to be watchmen? Look at verse 1. Now, the ones I'm going to give you are not specifically in here. I'm going to apply it. The other things I'm going to tell you are specifically. He says again, verse 1, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring a sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of the coast and set him for their watchmen. In other words, the watchman needed to know what his specific purpose was. He was up there for a reason. Put him up there because he's looking for the enemy. He's looking for danger. He's looking for something that these people need to know about because it's vital and it's important. Now, let me apply that for us. We too are watchmen in the fact that we need to know the truth, and in many ways, we need to get the truth to people. I thought of a couple areas we're supposed to do that. Do you know we're supposed to be a watchman of the truth of the gospel? That's really, for us, in the area in which we live, and the where we're at right now, New Testament Christianities, that's the biggest job. We got to get the truth out. We're watchmen. We know the truth. We see the impending danger, which is death, and if someone's not saved, I don't say this because if there's something I could pull out of the Bible, which I can't, it'd be hell. But it's real. And so we need to see what can happen to somebody if they don't know Jesus Christ, and we need to make sure that we let them know. Do you know the gospel is good news? But I'm just going to tell you something. It's not good news if we don't report it. It's not good news if we don't give it out. We're a watchman. I just thought of, and there's more, of a few examples of Bible characters who found the truth and they went out and immediately shared it. I think of the woman at the well. I'll read the verses to you. You can jot them down or look later. In John chapter 4, verse 28, this woman at the well, she meets Christ. He talks to her of her spiritual condition. He speaks to her of the fact that he's the Savior that brings the living water. And in verse 28, the woman then left her water pot. She had went to get water, but she got something far more valuable. Amen right there would have been good. And went her way into the city and saith to the men. You say, why'd she talk to the men? Read the other story. She knew a lot of them. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Are you ready? Is not this the Christ? And they went out of the city and they came to him. The Bible tells us later that many of the people went to him, and some of them believed because of the woman's story. Others believed not because of her story, because they listened to him, listened to her, and came and saw Christ and heard the truth, and they believed it there. Okay, immediately. By the way, you say, Pastor, I don't know how to share the gospel. Two things: come with us and we'll teach you. Number two, bring them to church. I told you before, I didn't know how to share the gospel, brother, too, but I had friends who weren't saved, and I'd bring them to church, and now I probably should add a little more tact, and the invitation would start, and I'm like, come with me. And they're like, huh? I'm like, yes, come with me. And I bring them down to the front to Brother Sisson. Say, Dave. That's a new Christian. Dave, my buddy needs to get saved. Can you talk to him? Okay. So I didn't know. But we got, immediately she did that. Andrew, think of Andrew in John chapter 1. And one of the two men, John chapter 1, verse 40 to 42. And one of the men which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, Peter, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Peter was bought by his brother. His brother got a dose of it and said, you need to go. Come with me. And he took him to Christ. Philip, in a few verses down, verse 43 of John chapter 1. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and said unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. So he tells him to follow him. So what does he do? Verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. First thing he did is go, tells Nathanael. That seems to be the Bible. I won't read the verses, but if you look in Luke, the maniac of Gadara, Jesus, he wants to hang out with Jesus after he gets the demons out of him, and Jesus says, go back home and tell everybody what I did for you. We are stewards of the gospel. God wants us to get that out. And by the way, you can do everything, and let me say this, if you're not involved in the gospel, you're forsaking one of the most important things God wants you to do. Well, Pastor, I give. Good. Give and soul win. We've got to do it. You say, Pastor, why do we keep inviting people? I look around here on Sundays and the place is full. It is. It's. I'll just be honest. You know, it's funny now. When we were still building and we're getting close to being the end, I'd sometimes come over here and I'd walk in this auditorium. And I told the staff guys this. I'll tell you my lack of faith now. And I used to come in here and I'm looking at this bottom floor. I'm like, how are we going to fill this? This is so much bigger than over there. And you know it, Joseph. I said, you know what we're going to do? We don't need the balcony. By the way, you have people in the balcony tonight or else it'd be super crowded down here. I'm like, what did I tell them I was going to do? So I said, yes. I said, we're going to build walls and we're going to build Sunday school classes out of the balcony until we need them. Look, we'll get our final inspection in a couple weeks. We've been using the balcony. And it's, you know, what do the experts say? 80% full on Sunday morning and you're full. Okay? Don't tell anybody. We're there. You say, Pastor, what are we going to do? Can I just tell you something? We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. We'll buy more chairs. We'll buy thinner chairs. Man, I'll get those little white plastic ones that are like this size. Okay, no, we won't do that. I'm not going to do it. But we'll make room. All right? If we have to do split thing, we'll make it work. Because, you know, see, I'm glad that we filled the building because I was really concerned, lack of faith. But you know what? I don't want to just say, hey, it's full. It's all good. No. I'm supposed to be a watchman. We need to get the gospel out. People need it. And we'll find room for them. Say, what are you talking about, Pastor? A building program? No, we're not there yet. But we'll see me next year and we'll see what we can do. So that's one thing. We're also watchmen of? We're watchmen of the ministry. You say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? What we do as a church and all of our Sunday school classes and everything, let me just bottom line is, we're supposed to build up the saints to perfect them for the work of the ministry. Get the truth out and get the truth into us so that we grow in our faith, so that we become better soul winners and we reach more people and we train them and we teach them the word of God. That's what the ministry is for. And let me just tell you something, it's vitally important that we are in the ministry. Once someone is saved, they need to learn the truth. Now, I know not everybody who gets saved stays in church or comes to church and all that, but that's our goal. But the people that do come, they need to be strengthened and encouraged. What good is it? Well, that's a bad way to put it, because even if they get saved, they're going to heaven. But you know what I'm saying. What good is it just to get saved and then their life is still miserable because no one stopped to say, hey, you need to get to church so we can teach you the truth so God can change your life and God can use you to do for somebody what they just did for you. That's our soul winning little cliche thing. The purpose of our ministries is to get the truth of the word out, to strengthen the believers, prepare them to be better watchmen of the church. Let me say a few things about that. We need people who are faithful to their ministries. We have a lot of people that are faithful. We couldn't do anything here without them. But can I just encourage you, if you're in a ministry, be faithful to it. Don't be there 1 week and gone the next week. Okay, let's be faithful and let's be all in. My spiritual joy and my spiritual growth took a huge step about 6 months after I got into church and was growing in my faith when I started serving. It was just whole new level. By the way, church was so much more exciting. Man, I couldn't wait to get to church. I wanted to be in the service. I wanted to hear the word of God, but I also wanted to serve. I also wanted to be a part of what's going on. And let me just tell you, if you're not a part of that, you're missing out. We have a lot of servants in this church, some who teach. And by the way, let me say this. If you teach, that's a high calling. That's a big deal. Don't just show up, and I know you don't. Don't just show up on Sunday morning with some little thing that you haven't studied. You realize I think about the bus ministry all so often, those classes like that. The only time they get any church or any Bible teaching at all is on Sunday morning. What we do is vital. They need love. They need encouragement. They need someone to care and take it serious. And I'm not saying you don't, by the way. As a pastor, I just need to say these things to give us a reminder every now and then. We need people to grow. And by the way, some of you grow in your faith. Maybe you're gifted that way, and God's going to say, hey, I want you to teach. See? That's important. But more than that, we also have some servants who serve. They don't teach, but they do a type of ministry which is supporting those who do. Or they support what's going on so that this place is going right. We need them. Look, well, you know, do we teach in the nursery? I'm pretty sure How old is Haven? She's like, what, 5 months? Yeah, you can't, go ahead, teach her. You know, when I play with Plato, I'm not teaching her. I'm like, make her smile, okay? We'll teach her later when she speaks English. Well, I know a lot of us don't even speak English, but you know how important that is to care of those children? So the parents can come in here and just not have to worry about it. And by the way, we have great nursery workers. And it's nice that they can just trust you. By the way, it's going to be so much better when the nursery's right there. You don't have to go to the hallway and red light, green light, and knock people over to get your kid, right? And then put it under your hand like a football and get through there to get to your car, okay? We're going to have wider hallways. It's going to be a lot better. We need servants. By the way, let me just say this. I am not happy. That's a wrong word, too. I am not satisfied with the ministries where we're at, what we're doing. Not that I'm not satisfied. I want to do more. I want to do more. We want to get another wheelchair. Amen? I told the wheelchair folks a long time ago, Kathy, I'm like, I want you guys to take over the back wall. Listen, they're taking over the sidewalls now. Pretty soon, they're going to be up here on the platform. And I told them to do it. But by the way, you know how they get here? We have a bus. People walk over and help them get here. That's called Christianity. By the way, we're going to get another bus to help them get here. I could just go on and on and on. We're in the beginning stages of starting a Vietnamese ministry. I want a Korean ministry. And if I knew how to speak Swahili, we'd start that too. Does anybody? I don't even know where Swahili people live. Swahili land? I don't even know where that is. It's not enough. I want to do more. Because I believe, as last year's theme, you know, more church, yes, but also so much the more as we see the day approaching. By the way, let me say this. where I was going with that, thank you, Steve, for reminding myself. Where I'm going with that is, if we're going to do that, what happens is, as a church grows, as ours is phenomenally, because you're inviting people, as those people grow, they start to serve. And as we start to serve, we have a greater base to do more ministry. Why wouldn't we want to? I don't know. Give me a couple hours. I'll find some more ministries to start. Okay? Because it's important. And let me say this. So we are only limited, and this point's taken a long time. We are only limited by the amount of people who are willing to serve. That's our only limitation. That's it. I remember sitting in a church service as a new Christian. Man, I was soaking it in. You know, every time he said, open your Bibles to this book. I'd never heard a message on that passage, right? And I'm like highlighting my Bible, and I realize if I highlight all the verses, what's the point? You know, just whatever. And so I was so excited. I remember after 6 months, I remember Brother Black, love him to pieces. He got up and said, you know, some of you have been coming to church and some of you have been growing. He goes, and I've been waiting for you to get involved in ministry. And then he stopped and said, it's time. And I'm like, you know, come on. We all do this sometimes. You hear something like, is he talking to me? Well, look, the speakers are pointed at you. And they're pointed at me too. And I'm like, that's me. I got to get involved. And I jumped in. We need servants. And let me say this. We need them everywhere, but we could use them everywhere. You know, you do realize the more nursery workers we have, the less times you have to be in there. The more Sunday school classes we have, the greater our capacity to take care of people, and we can split our bigger classes. By the way, we really need more bus drivers. I don't want less bus ministry. I want more. Amen. When we were in Bible college, they gave us a percentage that, you know, your church can accommodate. They're like, look at your attendance average, and this is a percentage that your church can comfortably minister to in the bus ministry. And we're nowhere near it. We're getting there. That means we still have a good capacity to reach more. And by the way, I wish someone would have came to my area where I lived when I was younger, and picked me up on a bus. I would have been your bus kid. Are you with me? I would have been, I thought right there, my family didn't go to church, no dad in the home and all that stuff, and I'm not saying that's always a bus ministry thing, but I wasn't going to church, but if someone would have came by, maybe. But we, you know what I'd like? I'd like for 10 of you to come to me and say, Pastor, I'll get my license. And I got some of you on a list, by the way. It's not the naughty list. You're getting a present for Christmas. It's like, by the way, do you know what costs now? They, Brother Ross, how much per individual per class? What? That was $1,500. Bro. Okay, we'll just get the kids to walk to church, man. Brother Ross, we used to have 200 kids come to church over in Anaheim, and we didn't even have a bus. Just kidding. Whatever the cost is, we'll pay it. You have to go through a paid class if you're not a bus driver to get that. It's not hard. It's just that they make you pay for it. I'll pay for it. I'll find a way to get it paid for because I believe in the bus ministry. And the more drivers we have, and you can look at any ministry, the you don't have to drive. We can. You say, what if we have too many? I'd rather have too many drivers so that maybe you just drive one way. And we can use it for everything. So I hope some of you pray about that. And I do believe that prayer without works is dead, being alone. So I'll probably ask a couple of you. And some of you have been working on it. That's great. But the point is, how are we going to get the truth out if we're not willing to? And just because you don't teach doesn't mean you're not important. You're super important. And then the last thing here, of this first point, the family. We are watchmen of our families. I can't think of a greater responsibility as a watchman than that. You see, the problem in our society is that we have, I don't even know the word to use, I'm thinking of one, but we've just taken the responsibility away from the parents. We've gutted them. Well, little Junior ought to be able to decide what he thinks is best. Look, little Junior wants to eat cereal for dinner. Right? As parents, do you realize, as a watchman being up on the wall, he saw things that others did not see. And so we need watchmen in our homes. Children, I love children. We have a whole bunch of them, and we have a whole lot more grandchildren. And I love the little goo goo gaga stuff, and I do it all the time. You know, I'll say, okay, my Josiah just had their kid, and we were over their house a couple times and just holding them, and all he does is stare at you. You know, it's like, bro, jaundice is going away, but you're a little yellow, man. Come on now. But cute little guy. He doesn't speak very much, and I love just holding him. And I love being, but do you understand, children are not just fun and a blast and all that. They come with their awesome responsibility. And there needs to be a family that sits there and says, we're going to be the watchman here. Right? And by the way, you know who that starts with? Dad. And I'm not saying this to mean, don't get me wrong, this is not condemning or mean-spirited in any way, but the majority of our families in our country don't even have fathers in the home. And I'm not being condemning, things happen, right? I grew up in a fatherless home. I just did. And my mom did the best, you know, I was a bit of a troubled child, but I'm going to tell you something, I would have been 5 times worse if it wasn't for my mom. As bad as I was, she was there pulling the rope to keep me from going farther. I was talking to somebody, I don't know who it is, it may have been at the pastor's conference. I met somebody. They were just talking to me, and they were in ministry, and they were talking about, I forget who it is now, but they were talking about how when they were growing up, they were single parent home, and their mom made sure that he was at church and made sure that he had some male figures through the church that could kind of set a good example for him. But it's very important that we understand we're the watchmen for our families. You have to say something. You say, but Pastor, sometimes my wife may not like it. Okay. If you never stand, and I'm not saying be pinheaded or all that stuff, right? But if there's never time, you say, hey, we're not going that way. We're not doing that. And they don't understand. And they may be a little upset. You're not doing your job. You just say, look, you may not understand this, and let me explain it to you, but let me just tell you, we're not going that direction. You know how kids are. Come on now. You know, but We probably don't have any Johnnies in our church, like, but little Johnny's parents let him. How many of you ever tried that at home? And my mom would say, Johnny's not my boy, okay? You are. Come on. By the way, learn the word no. Dad, can we have dinner? No. Not right now. 5 minutes from now, yes, okay? It's like, I'm not, but we need to stand up. We protect ourselves, and look, you can't even take your baby out of the hospital unless they're in a car seat. How many know what I'm talking about? They check you. By the way, when we were, I was at the hospital, my wife and I are at the hospital visiting Josiah and Melody, and you know, on the little board they have the little checklist. If you want to take the brat home, if you want to take the baby home, you know, here's the checklist. And one of them was like, I don't know if I remember, some type of like, they have to check your car seat to make sure it's right and show you how to make sure you know how to use it. Why? And by the way, I'm not saying that's wrong. I think it's a good thing. Because if the kid's not in there right, you can put the car seat in there and you stop, and the kid kind of wiggles their way out and they go flying. You got your safety is a big deal. You put safety at your house. And you know what we do with our family, though, if we're not careful? When it comes to spiritual things, the things that are vitally important, we just let all the garbage in. Okay, we do. We have to be willing to stand up and say, that's not what we do here, and you're not doing it. Well, little Johnny's going to yell and scream. You know, Johnny, do we have a boy in here named Johnny? Not, oh, yeah, John. You're a troublemaker. You're a Michigan fan. You need to get saved, cowboy. Okay? But I'm not picking on you, John. How about Fred? Can I call you Fred? All right, do we have any Freds in here? Good. Little Fred comes in, and you say, hey, we're not doing that. If they throw a fit, you know what that's telling you? You struck a nerve. Don't give in. See, what we do is we give in to our kids. Yeah, Samson's parents at first said no. What do you mean you want to go get a Philistine girl? What is, no. What, are there no girls in our country? But what happened a couple verses later? Now, God had a plan to use that. I understand that. I've read that verse. But the parents shouldn't have given in. A couple verses later, you know what they're doing? They're going down to seal the deal. I remember you told me that, John. What's going on here? Listen, let's be parents. The truth needs to be in our families, and it is our responsibility to make sure that it is. Some of you have no guidelines whatsoever. What are we doing? We're asleep at the wheel. And by the way, moms, you could toughen up too. I'm all for that. Okay? My mom was tough. I appreciated her. We, single parent home, there was four of us in the home. She always worked the job. She wasn't out here with some sign begging for money. She worked hard. She took care of us, and she cared, and she wasn't, you know, I mean, dads are dads. We're a little more off the hook. But, man, when she put her foot down sometimes, I found out that she really meant it. Okay? And that was good. Let's not just let everything go. And wives, let's support what's going on in the home. What is the goal? The goal is to put the kids, as I mentioned, I think on Thursday, to put our children in the best spiritual position to make it for the Lord. Well, they're going to be adults someday. Today is not that day. And what we want to do is teach them and train them so that when they're ready, they'll have a better chance of success. Go ahead, join the military. They don't look, if we were in war and you join the military, they're not going to say, here's a gun. The enemy's over there. Make sure you don't shoot somebody that's wearing the same uniform as you. What do? There's training. Here's what you do and here's what you don't do. And by the way, the biggest thing is listen to authority. Follow the command. Well, you know, I just think this would be a better way. We didn't ask what you think. Military. Okay? But what we do is we're so sloppy with the children. They do whatever they want because we just don't want to hear them whine. Say, well, what do I do? My child wants a wine. Say, you want a wine? Okay, give me 30 seconds. Go wine in your room and close the door when you go in. But we have to stand up. And by the way, if that's what you do on a consistent basis, children get used to it. You know, we think they're little terrorists. The terrible twos. How many of you ever heard that phrase? Man, I know some of you, it's the terrible 25s. Okay? Do you know it's not the terrible twos? You know what I call it? I've called it this for years. I'm like, it's the testing twos. That little Oswald, they smile and they look so cute, but inside of them, come on now. Bible says there's foolishness in the heart of a child. What do we got to do? We got to discipline that out of them, and we need to train it out of them. What's the point? This is point one, and we had five. We'll pick it up next week. Here's the point, though. The point is, we are watchmen of the truth. And we defined it today, and you could go on and just teach, but the gospel in the ministry where we teach people, and the greatest ministry we have, which is our families, right? That's vitally important. So let me ask you this, what are you doing with the truth? Do you ever share the gospel with anybody? You, Pastor, I'm all for soul winning. When's the last time you came out? I'm all for serving the Lord. What are you doing to serve the Lord? You know, how about your family? By the way, you don't need to be a perfect parent. If you meet a perfect parent, can you introduce them to me? I want them to sign my Bible. But you know what? A parent that cares and is willing to say, hey, I want to help you get there spiritually. And we'll put some guidelines in place. And you're going to follow them because one day you're going to be an adult. You know, you'll leave the home, whether it's when you get married, and now you need to do that for your family. But we're watchmen. And a watchman cannot be, they can't act like a blind person that doesn't see anything. They can't be like a dog that never gives a warning, and we can't be asleep at the wheel. We need to share the truth. Let's stand together this evening, if we may, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed for a minute. Do you understand that, excuse me, Christianity is about responsibility. It's about a lot of things. But we are responsible for everything we hear. When that watchman stood on the wall, and we'll see a little bit of this next week, if he saw the enemy coming, it was on him to get the word out. He couldn't say, well, you know, why did we have the gate open in the first place? Why do I have to yell and scream and tell everybody? They ought to just know to be ready. No, that's not how it works. How are we fulfilling our responsibility? With the gospel. How are we fulfilling our responsibility by serving? And how are we doing with our responsibility in our families? Let's be a watchman. Now, I know we didn't go through all the verses this week, and we'll do that next week and kind of fill in some gaps, but this is important. Let's do our job. Let's fulfill our responsibility to be a watchman. Piano's going to play. If God spoke to you tonight, why don't you come?